We serve an awesome, amazing God. You know, I got up this morning and from time to time I'll get up and go out in the living room and nobody else is awake except me and the neighbor's dogs. But I got me a cup of coffee. I sat on a couch and I said, just begin to let the Lord know how great he was, how awesome he is. And so, Lord, you know what needs to be done. You know what needs to be said. So, but I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to listen. You know, sometimes we need to quit talking and listen. Sometimes we talk too much. And we just need to listen to the Spirit. Listen to our helper, the comforter that God gave. And I was sitting there and I was listening and listening and listening. And there was nothing. I said, Lord, I'm still listening. And by his Spirit, I heard this. He said, trust me. Do what I tell you to do. Say what I tell you to say. So I got up and went, finished getting ready and went out. Do you know you could be on a boat doing whatever it is that you do and still listen? But throughout the day, the Lord just began to deal with me on some very familiar things. See, sometimes we got to go back. And in listening, I was asked a question by the Spirit. How important or how valuable is my salvation to me? It's a very serious question, because a lot of times we lose the value of who God is. You know, you hear people say, well, I would go to church, but I don't want some man telling me what to do. I don't want somebody telling me how to live my life or what I have to do. Well, listen to me. If you work, if you fish, if you crab, whatever you do as a job, people tell you what you're going to do. You know, Pastor Charlotte, when we come in and we go sell, we have to ask that person that's buying, are you buying tomorrow? And they either say yes or they say no. In other words, they telling you whether or not you can go out. But then if we hear the word of God, we take it that man's trying to tell us what to do. Man's not trying to tell us what to do. It's just sharing God's word. See, we have to make a decision. Sometimes we have to go back and we have to reevaluate how valuable God is to us. How valuable Jesus giving his life, God sending his only begotten son. To give his life that you and I can be a part of God's kingdom. How awesome. It's amazing to know that we could be a part of God's kingdom. But sometimes we lose the value of it. See, in a lot of cases, we don't understand how valuable things are until we lose it. You know, I told Pastor, I said, I might have to get somebody to read for me because I left my glasses on a boat. It's bad when you're looking at something and everything, just words, that whole chapter becomes one big old word. See, we have to make a decision as individuals. And the reason, you know, you think about it, God sent Holy Spirit to lead us. In a part nobody wants to hear, Holy Spirit oftentimes comes and puts us in check. He lets us know, hey, don't go this way. You headed in the wrong direction. But you see, it's not always by the Spirit directly to me or to you. Sometimes it's through God's word, through the voice of a man, but it's still by the Spirit. And we have to be careful, because right away we think, well, they're trying to tell me how to live. Listen, if we can't go to God's word and figure out how to live, I sure can't tell you how to live. But we have to be willing to accept God's word for what it says. You know, think about Jesus. I was getting ready, and as I was getting ready, the Lord brought back to my remembrance when Jesus' disciples, you know, when he was in a garden and he went to pray, and then they came to get him. Think about it. The same guys that was there when he healed the blind. The same guys that was there when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. With just the boy's meal. The same guys that was there when the lame walked, when the dumb talked, went against him. You know, you think about Peter denied him, but Jesus told him he would. But it was because of a choice he made. But thank God that he came to a realization that if he only repent, there's still hope. Thank God for his grace. But see, sometimes it takes repentance to activate grace. Judas betrayed him. And instead of repenting, he took his life. Think about it. You know, we live in a very unstable America. Very unstable world. The only stability that we have is in God. We better learn how to trust Him when nobody else is around. Listen, you know how much nicer it would have been? You know how much easier it would have been? When I sat down on that sofa this morning and said, Lord, I'm listening. If He'd have just started speaking. But sometimes, even when we don't hear it, even when we don't feel it, we got to still trust Him. You know, it didn't mean that God didn't care about me. It didn't mean that He forgot about me. It didn't mean that He was just pushing me away. But I made a statement. I said, Lord, I'm listening. He was trying to figure out how long would I sit there and listen. To what extent would I go to get the answer? See, life's full of choices. Sometimes we make good choices. Sometimes we make bad choices. And this is where I was brought by the Spirit. I got home and took a shower, and then they called me to go down the road and get my bait. My wife and I went down the road. We got the boat, went to get the bait, got everything ready, and came back home. But in the process of doing all of that, I'm still listening. But at this time, even though I'm driving, even though I'm doing stuff, the Spirit's speaking. And I was asked this question. What if I would be offered a house and a piece of property in a place of my choice, a house of my choice, a vehicle of my choice, and $10,000 a month in my bank account for the rest of my life? But there's a condition. I have to turn my back on God. You have to weigh it out. See, if you know the truth in God's word, it's not a hard decision. But if you've been wondering, if you've been trying to figure out, where am I going to go next? Sometimes it sounds good. Sometimes it looks good. And sometimes it even feels good. But it don't mean that it's God. You know, there's a lot of people in the church world today that if they would get off at all those things I just said, they would say, oh, God's blessing me. But if it's done to turn you against God, it's not a blessing from the Lord. It's a curse from the enemy. It's a diversion. It's to divert you from where you are to where you're not going to want to be. See, people sell God out for a whole lot less than that. You know, I'm driving home, and all of this is going through my mind. I said, Lord, what do you have? I don't just want to get up and speak just because I can. But I want to say what you once said. And only what you once said. The Lord took me back to Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to get my wife to come up here, and she's going to be my helper. Read from 14 to 14 and 15.
Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
So powerful. As for me and my house. But in the beginning it said, serve the Lord in sincerity. That's a powerful statement. In other words, we have to sell out to him. You know, we go through life oftentimes looking for somebody that we can pattern our life after. Listen, we need not look no more. If we can't pattern our life after Jesus, we're in trouble. You know, I had a guy told me one time, he said, but Jesus is God. I said, no, Jesus was not God. He was the Son of God. He was living on earth, man, with a self-will just like we have. But his will to do was to please the Father, was to do what God sent him to do. You know, you start thinking about stuff that we've been through. Stuff that we went through and things that happened. It cannot compare to what Jesus went through. Not even in a slight way. See, I believe that over the years, we read this verse and we've taken it, the last part of it where it says, as for me in my house, Joshua said it, as for me in my house. Because Joshua said it, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Automatically, a lot of people in the world thinks, and I believe that it's the man's duty to stand up and say, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But if the man's not going to do it, the wife needs to. Listen, there was a time in my life that serving God left me. And I can't tell you the times that my wife was getting ready to walk out the door and she'd look at me and say, you coming? But I always had an excuse. You could sit here all you want, but I'm serving God. You see, it was because of a choice I made. It was because of something that happened in my life that I thought I was the only one that would ever go through it. But when you start comparing it to what Jesus went through, what I went through was nothing. It was so petty. It was so little. But he gave all. He gave up everything. Even life itself. That you and I could be a part of God's kingdom. To see. Think about it. We were chosen by God. We were adopted by God. We were grafted in. Because he chose us. and we became heirs to the kingdom. But sometimes we lose the value of sonship. Sometimes we lose the value of sonship. See, there are some things that your son has access to that you own that my son don't. Talking about natural, physical things. But there are some sons that don't feel like they could use things that their dad owns because they lost the value of sonship. And the sad thing is, that spirit has crept its way into the church. And people have lost the value of sonship when it comes to sons and daughters of God. But sometimes we have to be willing to let go of everything else and realize, come to a complete realization. You know why I was able to sit there this morning and just listen? Because I know the value of sonship. I knew if I waited long enough, I knew if I stuck it out long enough, my father would answer. And he did. It wasn't quite as fast as I thought it would be. It wasn't the answer I thought I would hear. See, not every time we ask God something, the answer is going to be what we think it should be. But no matter what the answer is, he'll never lead us in the wrong direction. See, sometimes we have to adjust our life to the answer. But over the years, for many years, people have tried adjusting God's word to fit their life. And in some cases, it caused people to just walk away. It caused them to, you know, people that was ordained in the ministry, because they tried changing God's word to fit them, they're not doing what God called them to do right now. You know, I was reminded of a church I was in a few times today. And I was preaching a revival, and the pastor got mad at me. I'm talking about so mad that he walked up to me and said, "I'm mad at you." Well, maybe we just need to pray and you need deliverance. Because I told him something, and he said, "You're not going to tell me what to do." I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I have to tell you. But see, he's not pastoring no more. It wasn't long after that series of services, the church closed down. You can't get mad and offended when God's trying to build your house, but it ain't quite going the way that you think it should go, and you get mad at God, because you'll find yourself without God. See, we have to be willing to make this statement. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." That right there If we've ever doubted God, if we've ever walked away from Him, we can go back to this scripture in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, and read the first part of it. And we'll come to a realization that we messed up. Because he goes on and says, "And put away the gods which your fathers served and other gods on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." It's only one God we have to serve. Even though there's millions of them out there, there's only one true and living God, and that's who matters. But we have to be willing to make the statement, as for me and my house, no matter if anybody else does it, if everybody in this church walks away, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We got to get that determinated. We have to have that determination that we're going to serve God no matter what. No matter what comes, no matter what goes. Because listen to me, in life there'll be ups and downs. There's going to be mountains and valleys. See, we get so excited so many times on a mountain that we forget that on the other side of the mountain's another valley. And through the excitement, we fail to get the strength God wants to give us through His Word to get us through the next valley to the next mountaintop. One thing we have to remember, on the other side of every mountain is a valley. And we got to get prepared to go through that valley. You know, I'm going to share this in closing. We were out on a boat yesterday, my wife and I, and I got a phone call from John Mark, which is an Amish guy. I only spoke to him on the phone. He's from Shipshewana. He's the guy that we sent the text out for the church to pray for the little 5-year-old boy having surgery on the 26th. Well, he called yesterday and I was talking to him. We had trouble talking because phone service wasn't too great. But he was so excited. And he said, "Will you just tell your church?" And he said, "I want to tell you, thanks for praying." Said the surgery went great. Actually, they're coming down. They leaving on a tent to come down here for a couple of days. And a little boy is going to be able to come with him. But he said everything went great. And he wanted to just thank the church for being in agreement. I spoke to him several times before the surgery, and you know, we were trying to set a date for him to come down. He's going to do some work in Baton Rouge at Miss Pendorvis's house. It's some of the final things that has to be done. And when he first told me about it, he was troubled. And he told me, he said, "I'm just going to tell you." I mean, he had no idea who I am, other than he knows my name's Troy and I know his name's John Mark. And he's a cabinet guy. He said, we're troubled because when they went to the doctor told him that the size of his son, he got his tonsils removed, but the size of them was so bad. He said the doctor didn't. In most cases, the doctor gives the parents a choice whether or not they want to remove them. He said in this case we had no choice, and he said we were troubled by it. You know, when somebody says they're troubled by something, in other words, they have no peace. And I just told him, I said, "John Mark, if you don't mind, I'm going to get our church and we're going to pray for you and your wife and your son. And we're going to trust God that everything's going to just go great. And he just, you could tell by the sound of his voice. It was like when I told him our church would pray. It was like a relief. You could just tell by the different tone of his voice. He said, man, we would really appreciate that. So we sent the text and AJ let him know, because AJ gets the text. He said, hey, they praying. And he just, you know, as soon as he was able to get to a phone after everything was done, he called and just wanted to thank us, thank everybody for praying. But continue to pray for him that, you know, he'll just have a quick recovery. Pray for their safety traveling as they're coming down. And they're going to actually come here for a day or two before they go back home. But I've been praying since I spoke to him. Because since the first time I spoke to him, he said, man, we really want to come down and just put these cabinet doors on ourselves. And said, well, you can't come to Louisiana unless you go fishing. And he said, well, now we really need to come. But we're going to, you know, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is not just about getting cabinet doors done and going on a fishing trip. This is going to be a relationship with a brother that I've never met that loves you, and we can serve you together, be a part of God's kingdom. And that's, you know, that's what it's about, is being able to encourage people, help people. See, only God could put those things together. And if I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it because I was reminded several times throughout this service. You know, I made the statement about getting a house and all these things with a condition. You know, there's a lot of people in America that would take that over serving God. But when I was asked that by the Spirit, this is what the Spirit of God said. He said, a lot of people has turned against me for a whole lot less. And it's, when you think about it, you know, I've been places that by the Spirit you could hear the heart's cry. You know, Pastor, I've been in places that there's not a heart's cry for God. It's a I don't care spirit. But I say, Lord, where are you going with this? He said, there's people that has walked away from me for a whole lot less than what I just showed you. He said, people walked away from me because they thought somebody didn't like them. Because they thought somebody said something about them. Listen to me. I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says we need to try the spirits. Not every spirit that tries to talk to us is going to be God. But we need to know the difference. How do you know the difference? Spend time with him. You got to know who is Holy Spirit. Listen. I told Brother Josh a while ago, he passed me this morning and blew his horn. I said, don't blow the horn at me no more. He blew his horn like he wanted me to get out his way. But you see, had he not blown the horn, I mean, I knew it was him. You could pick that truck out of a thousand. You just got to look at that back window of that. What it is, San Francisco? It's gone. Thank you, Lord. Huh? The front's got it. That'll be going next. He's a traitor, Sister Dawn. But you see, had he not, and the enemy come and say, see, he didn't even blow us home. He must be mad at you. We need to be careful what spirit we entertain. Because if I think about it, you know, the other day I seen a boat coming up and I thought it was him, and I asked him a while ago. He said it wasn't. Figured it wasn't because the guy was scared to pass me. Because the day before he just passed me. But you see, if you're going down the road and you see somebody, and it might be the person you sit next to or you sit in front of or behind in church, they might not have even seen you and never waved. But it's little things like that that enters our mind. See, the enemy attacks our mind. That's why we need to protect our mind through God's Spirit. Because then he says, see, they don't even wave when you pass. You go to church with them and they don't even wave. Look, if I don't have my glasses, I might look at you and not know it's you. I had a guy on a white 18-wheeler ask me one time. He said, man, you don't ever wave at me. So I just started waving at every white 18-wheeler I see. Sooner or later, it's going to be him. But we have to protect those thoughts, because those thoughts becomes feelings, and feelings becomes anger, and anger will turn us against God. And listen to me. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Sometimes the word from the Lord might not come from who you think it should come from. But whether it comes from who you think it should come from or not, we don't need to let it upset us. Because sometimes, because of the one that gives the word, gets us upset. But when God gives a word to be given, the person he gives it to has a responsibility to obey God by the Spirit and give that word. Because if you don't obey God, then you're in trouble. You know, I've gave word before, and I even said, Lord, there's got to be somebody else you could give this to. But if you do it being led by God's Spirit, my wife could tell you, we were sitting at our kitchen table, and there was a lady sitting there. And she was going on and on and on and on. And I said, Lord, don't only help my mind, help my tongue. And I spoke what God laid on my heart to speak. And that lady looked at me. She said, you just rebuked me. And I didn't even realize I'd done it. She said, but I've never been rebuked before in such a spirit of love. Because it was through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because I could tell you, if I'd have done it in my spirit, she'd have never came back for coffee. She was rattling. But I just said, Lord, you have to take control. And see, when we get the feeling that way, that's what we have. We have to humble ourselves to the Spirit of God and let Him have control. And then what's said is said in such a spirit of love, they can't deny the fact God done it. But sometimes it might not be that person that we thought it should be. But listen to me, if it comes from the youngest child, and it's a word from God, we better learn how to receive it. We better get ourselves in a place that we can start receiving God's word no matter who it comes from. And when we get that word, we better find our place in God. Because let me tell you, it's a 99.9% chance that when the enemy attacks, we ain't going to have all our friends sitting around us. But it's going to be in a time when we're all alone and nobody else is around and our mind gets to wondering. And then he comes and he whispers. We better know who's whispering. And if it's the enemy, we need to rebuke it by the power of the blood of Jesus. We need to get rid of it. But if it's God, we need to humble ourselves before Him and be the men and women God called us to be. Let's all stand.